Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Touch on about 15 minutes. But since we did teach this question, how would you grade the Houston Astros offseason if they bring Alex Bregman back and if they don't bring Alex Bregman back? Two different grades. Joe, let's start with you. How would you grade the Houston Astros right now for their offseason, given that Alex Bregman is not back in the fold, and after they have moved on from both Kyle Tucker and from Ryan Presley, but they did bring back a super high prospect in Cam Smith, pitcher Hayden Wisniewski, Isak Paredes from the Cubs,
and Christian Walker
as well. So they've added, in terms of volume, more than they've lost. And in Ryan Presley, I think we'd all agree, what are you really losing right now? Your seventh inning pitcher, best case scenario, since Brian Abreu is better than him too. But with Kyle Tucker, you are missing out on a guy who during the regular season this past year was MVP-esque. Then, of course, he injures his leg. The Astros thought it wasn't a fracture. He thought it was a fracture. I would imagine some sour feelings along the way there. He played poorly in the playoffs. Now he's in Chicago. So, like, there's one side where, damn, this guy was awesome. But there's another side of, well, you won a lot of games when he was hurt and he stunk in the playoffs. So where are you at? Grading the Astros offseason, not knowing what's happening with Alex Bregman, assuming, in fact, Alex Bregman's not coming back.
And also Justin Verlander, they let him walk
without
bringing him back. But I think, I put that in the, like, that's in the plus column.
I don't know if it's in the plus column necessarily as much as it's like, hey, he didn't even make your postseason roster. Like,
yeah. I think I would have been annoyed if we were hearing talks about luxury tax and collective bargaining taxes, and then you paid Justin Verlander $15 million to come be the worst starter in your rotation. So I think it's the right move. I give him a solid B. I think they deserve a B.
A B?
Yeah.
Even if Bregman doesn't come back?
Yeah, because you made the decision to stop acting the way you have, which is allowing these guys to walk with getting nothing in return. Which, look, you kept winning, so it made logical sense to why would you change your behavior. You had replacements, but you've got a terrible farm system now. I know guys keep coming up, and the Space Cowboys won the AAA championship and all that stuff, but that's because it's mostly 4A players that aren't really big leaguers. So they bring in Cam Smith, so you now have your best prospect in your system you've acquired by moving on from Kyle Tucker. You have Bryce Matthews already there, but then you've also upgraded at first base significantly. You've probably downgraded at third base, definitely defensively. Probably the peak of Bregman, Paredes isn't as good, but you replace them with a real player. So I give him a B. Wisniewski comes in, he fits into rotation until a mythical Lance McCullers or Luis Garcia returns, and then you can move him to the bullpen.
You got four guys coming back at the All-Star break, and you know Dana Brown's going to say, we acquired four pitchers at the All-Star break. Just wait until it happens. It's going to happen. That is a Dana Brown textbook move.
So I give him a B. I thought about going lower because of the state of the outfield, but I like where the Astros are at right now.
Damn. Joe, I feel like you're getting walked over here.
Soft grader?
And you're the son of a teacher.
Yeah.
Were you traumatized by your father's grades?
No, he probably passed me too easily.
Ooh. So you learned to be an easy grader, huh?
Probably. It was like the NFL to the Chiefs. Just like massage it. Massage the grade a little bit. Yeah.
You definitely massaged the offseason there. I mean, the way you said it, it made sense. It was logical. A B, though?
I think a B is fine.
A B is good. C is satisfactory.
So you think C?
Well, you know me. Logic and an opinion? No, we don't play that. From a vibes perspective, I'm sorry. No Tucker. Bregman's gone. D.
Vibes are bad.
I'm just saying it's not satisfactory. Because I don't know what Isak Paredes is going to do. I don't know if Hayden Wesneski is going to be good. I don't know what Christian Walker is going to do. I don't know. So, while the Tucker move made sense, and Alex Bregman, right now, I mean, you look pretty smart waiting because doesn't seem to be much interest in Alex Bregman. Maybe he does come back. But without Alex Bregman, I'm going to say D. With Alex Bregman, I will say C. Satisfactory.
Wow. That's all you're going to give him?
I mean, every time we do a grades thing, like, Paul just ends up giving out a C. Just because it's like, you did your job.
C. Satisfactory. Listen. This is last year, what? A team that barely wins the American League West, still. And I mean, what, with 88 wins after the start that they had? I mean, last year was largely frustrating. And, yeah, Astros always winning the AL West. The AL Championship Series streak was snapped. F that. I want a little urgency. You don't get my loyalty.
I was good.
It's not eternally granted. We ain't married. You didn't put a ring on my finger this year or last year or the year before. And I know it's only 29, 30 days into 2025, but I'm looking at it as 2025. Where's my ring? I haven't had a ring in 3 years.
That's true.
D.
Okay, maybe I'm grading them on a curve a little bit. I think I am being a little bit nicer as a grader here. Because I just kind of know what is happening in front of me.
You trust them.
No, I know like who they are. I know that they're not gonna spend a ton of money more than what they've already spent, and that because of the decisions that Jeff Bagwell made, he hamstrung this franchise. That because of Rafael Montero and because of Jose Abreu and the money that you owe them, that like they're not going to add a ton of pieces. That they have diluted their farm system to a point where you couldn't acquire Dylan Cease, who seems like he's going to be traded before opening day. Like he would be the best pitcher on the Astros. He'd be better than Fromber. Unless you want to trade Cam Smith, you don't have the money for it. You don't have the prospects for it. So I'm grading them on a little bit of a curve. For sure. Mm. Because I just know where they're at.
We're grading a two-time champion on a curve.
Well, I just know that Jim's not going to spend a bunch of money.
But he is spending a lot of money.
Well, he's not going to spend more money. He's going to wait until these contracts go away. I mean, Alex Bregman came off the books. Verlander came off the books. And so did Kyle Tucker. And he replaced him with two expensive players. Two players that make a good chunk of change. There was part of me that, Paul, went into this offseason thinking that Kyle Tucker would be traded, Bregman would be gone, and they wouldn't really replace them. That the replacements would be like Jorge Polanco at third base, and John Singleton would just be your first baseman, and they would just be terrible next year. That was one of my biggest concerns, was that they were going to do a financial reset this offseason, and they didn't do that. So I give them a B. So I'll go B+ if they get Bregman.
Ooh, look at you.
Well, you got to upgrade it. I can't go from, I'm going to give him an A.
Right. I was about to say,
you gave him
a B without Bregman.
Yeah. Because Altuve is still your left fielder, which I still don't really get.
I know I'm going to sound like an elitist cake eater douche here, but I mean, God, I can tell you didn't go to great schools like Thayer Academy and Shorecrest Preparatory School and Syracuse University.
No, I did go to an art school.
Not St. Paul's Elementary. Like all the schools that raised me. Mister, I went to private schools my whole life. You know what? The grade scale is a little more difficult. And I don't like that a B is what a C used to be. I don't like that. That is 100% what is happening in our education system these days. I don't like it. Well, I don't like it.
Actually,
we have lowered our standards.
Huh? That's way worse that's happening. You can't fail kids now.
You can't?
No. There's a lot of schools, maybe not in Texas. I'm not at that point yet where I know this, but I know in Illinois, softies, that even if a kid doesn't take a test and doesn't turn their paper in, you have to give them another chance. You would have to, my dad would have to use the rewrite test for kids that got caught cheating. He would have to rewrite them individual tests.
Wait, so he got punished for the kids cheating essentially?
Yes. Because they don't want to fail kids.
Yeah, because they want to get rid of them.
Yeah, well, that's honestly, honestly, I get that.
And
like I don't want this kid in here. Like, probably, get him out.
Probably hurts your numbers as a school. Probably hurts the funding.
Man. Yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like this, but hey, okay, listen, Joe trusts the Astros right now.
I mean,
if you're giving them a B, you trust them.
Yeah, I trust them for what they're doing right now. They've met my expectations this offseason.
This is what's really happening. They're rolling the dice on Paredes being awesome at Minute Maid Park. They are rolling the dice on fixing Wesneski, and there is a very good chance that we could be looking at this in a way that we looked at the Yusei Kikuchi trade a couple of months after it happened, where at first I was like, what? I've seen this guy pitch before. Then he comes to the Astros and he pitched great. But I'm just saying right now, and as correctly brought up on the Twitch, Paul, your baseball take's generally terrible. Listen, I'm not denying that. I know mine are entertaining, and this is all off vibes, baby. You lose Bregman and Tucker, I'm supposed to be excited going into next year. Same thing as like if you hire Nick Cayley or you hire Gerard Johnson or you hire, even worse, Bill Lazor as your offensive coordinator. I'm supposed to be excited going into next year. So, listen, I'm Mr. Casual. You got to excite me. It's a D without Bregman. It's a C with Bregman. It's satisfactory. But
yeah.
I listen, you know, the Astros season doesn't begin until the American League Championship Series, and I guess there was a lockout last year.
Well, I think that means actually now it's the wild card round. I think you have to move the goalpost back a little bit, actually. You can't say that when they didn't get there last
no,
year.
No, I can't. I still
Unfortunately,
will.
Unfortunately,
last year there was a lockout. Clearly. You
know, the other part that, like, I like speaking like grading on curves, I mean, they're literally banking on, for me to be right, the Astros are banking on the Crawford boxes. Like, that is really what they did this offseason. That, like, Paredes is going to hit the way he has in other ballparks, and these, you know, 300 and whatever, 15, whatever it is, of the boxes are going to be a bunch of home runs for him. Like, that's really what they're betting
on. It really is.
Like, they are banking on the Crawford boxes being a huge reason for his success. The Crawford boxes are the reason why you can entertain the idea of Jose Altuve in left field. I mean, like, the Crawford boxes are the most important player on the team this year.
They are. Is Jayden Brown going to say that going into the year? Like, we really decided to make the Crawford boxes a key part of our organizational direction.
B minus. I got to move the
curve. Oh, don't.
Wait.
No,
I forgot about something.
No, you said B.
The name Dyken Park sucks. I forgot about
that. We'll get to that in the Astros count.
We got to go B minus. We got to move back a little bit.
We're 13 days away, 145. We're going to talk about the rest of the stuff that we learned about the Astros at FanFest over the weekend. He's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass. Up next. Wow. This story is still developing, but some incredible details, graphic details, disgusting details, Deshaun Watson-esque details about one of the best players in the NFL. Who are we talking about? You'll find out next. Stay with us.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
I'm stunned because it seems we have another Deshaun Watson situation in the National Football League. And it's not Deshaun Watson or more allegations against him. It's not Tony Busby, it's not Rusty Harden, but it is semi-local. Now, I've asked a couple of people from Baltimore how reputable the Baltimore Banner is. And when I hear back, I'll let you know. And keep in mind, this is a story. And a story that, much like with Deshaun Watson, is going to be hard to prove. But an article that was released about 50 minutes ago on this website has the following title. Ravens Justin Tucker accused of inappropriate sexual behavior by six massage therapists. I read through the whole story. In a nutshell, the descriptions are very detailed. There are some Deshaun Watson similarities. I don't think it's that similar to Deshaun Watson from the perspective of what Watson was supposedly doing, where Watson was a little bit more aggressive, but the descriptions are pretty similar. Tucker perhaps a little less aggressive, but we're talking about six massage therapists who have accused him of exposing his genitals, brushing two of them with his exposed penis, and leaving what they believe to be you-know-what on the massage table after three of his treatments. And this is going back a while to his early days with the Ravens. He has hired attorneys. The attorneys deny the allegations, called them speculative and impossible to prove. And if we learned anything from the Deshaun Watson scandal, yeah, it's going to be tough to prove any of this without video, without, I'd imagine, even written testimony about this or back and forth. And at least with Watson, you had direct messages. I don't know if we have any of that. But this is a long feature piece in the Baltimore Banner. I encourage you to read it. I suppose it's not shocking that NFL players getting massages, some would do stuff like this. But yeah, from the sound of it, while he was getting these massages, he would go out of his way to basically get free of the towel and expose himself, hoping, I guess, for more.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, this is 2012 to 2016. I think we have to remember back to like the beginning of Deshaun Watson, and, you know, it's all alleged. There's no like real proof of this right now, but he was banned by two spas. Multiple therapists declined to work with him. The Ravens and the NFL have both declined comment on this. Now, his lawyer is heavily involved in this piece, and some refuting in here, but it is a wait and see. And, you know, it sucks that these stories come out because you have to wait to see what happens. And yeah, it is logical to think that this ends in a very similar fashion to Deshaun Watson, which is civil lawsuits because of the timeline, that this isn't probably something that goes to a actual court system, like we saw with Deshaun. So it's a lot of wait and see, but it's a tough read. Definitely recommend people read it themselves, because it would take us a while to go through all of this.
Right. And also, you know, as you go through it, they also interviewed people with the Ravens, or tried to interview people with the Ravens. And the Ravens employees have described positive experiences with Tucker. But it seems out of house, things were significantly different.
Yes. And this is where, it's one of the things that I think that's interesting from the article, too, that will be, now, we know how the NFL works. We know the goalpost gets moved for players in terms of when you are alleged of things. The quality of player typically is connected to the actions of the team when they handle this. Deshaun Watson was a franchise quarterback. The Texans and the Browns were willing to, if he wanted to play in Houston, to keep him on the roster at that point. The Baltimore Ravens have said in 2022, as cited in this article, that the Ravens have a zero tolerance policy towards any domestic violence or anything when Harbaugh was asked about Deshaun Watson and his suspension. And I think it's fair to say Justin Tucker's not good anymore. So, like, that is, like, and this is the same organization that didn't cut Ray Rice right away, that waited till the video came out, and he was also terrible.
Did nothing about Ray Lewis. Nothing about Terrell Suggs, who has an incident where he threatened to pour bleach on the mother of his child. So, the Ravens have had pretty bad history off the field as it is. It's not to say every NFL team has their own issues, right? I mean, the team I grew up rooting for, a guy killed someone, killed multiple people, you know? It's not about whataboutism here as much as, though, to what you were saying. I doubt he's going to get the same kind of defense that Deshaun Watson got from some in this city. But people were out on Watson. Watson at that point in time had opted to not play for the Texans ever again. He had made a declaration like, I'm done. He sat behind the scenes for a full calendar year while all these allegations were circulating. And there was a conspiracy theory that this was the reason that those allegations came out. Some people believe that the Texans are doing this because they want to get back at him for wanting to get out of town. But you read the allegations against Watson there, good God. The allegations here, hard to compare. I don't think they're as aggressive, but again, still bad. We're talking six people that are saying similar things. And, you know, I don't know if this is about a settlement or if this is about actually trying to charge him with something. I'll just say, as far as the latter goes, we learned with Deshaun Watson, it's going to be hard for any charges to stick against him. So now you wonder if this is going to be a drawn-out process. He said, she said, lawyers, and eventually some sort of settlement comes out, which I imagine is how this will play out, just given what we saw with Watson.
Yeah, and look, there's a long way to go until we get there. But yeah, it feels like the logical destination for where this goes, that because of the timeline, 2012 to 2016, I mean, that's 12 years ago. That's Justin Tucker's second year, I think it is, in the NFL. This article says maybe it was his rookie, but I think they said it was his second year, going into the massage parlors with all Ravens gear on, telling them that he's the kicker for the Baltimore Ravens. So it's not like he was hiding his identity while doing this, just similarly to Deshaun, he wanted them to know who he was. So we'll wait and see. And it's interesting to see people like Benjamin Albright, who is a very well-connected NFL reporter, saying that some of this stuff, well, he was getting tipped off to some of this recently and was investigating himself, but didn't get the full, you know, point to where he could break the news. So kind of feels like this has been in the Baltimore area and maybe some inner NFL circles was percolating a little bit as well. So it's a gross story for sure.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens next. But Justin Tucker has been accused by six different massage therapists of inappropriate sexual behavior. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Galan and George, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. What's your grade for the Houston Astros with Alex Bregman back in the fold if he comes back? What's your grade for the Houston Astros without him? That's on the table. Also, we'll get back into talking about the Rockets later on. Big game against the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Could be the greatest day of their lives. And up next, we got the 10-minute drill. Talking a little football. Stay put. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Galant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. We talked about it in the last segment from the Baltimore Banner. This is just the headline. I used to read the story. I texted a couple of people in Baltimore asking how reputable is the Baltimore Banner. One responded saying, very. Ravens Justin Tucker accused of inappropriate sexual behavior by six massage therapists. We read the story and talked about some of the details in the last segment. I don't think it's quite as bad as Deshaun Watson, both in terms of volume. Watson's, what, 24-plus? Tucker's at six. Also, in the sexually aggressive nature with which Watson was putting his pelvis up in the air. But seems like Tucker was seeking extra contact during these massages.
I do believe Deshaun Watson's original accusers was less than five. When Tony Busby went public the first time, with Ashley, I think her name was, when she was required to release her name by the judge. And then it quickly grew to double digits. So we'll wait and see. But yeah.
ABC News is reporting several significant incidents occurred during the celebration of the Eagles winning the NFC Championship game. Sadly, an 18-year-old student from Temple died after falling from a light pole that he had climbed. It's like they took the greasing of the poles as the challenge. That is truly sad. You drink a little bit, you think you're invincible. Also in Philadelphia, two shootings, a stabbing, 31 citations for disorderly conduct. Police are investigating other incidents of gunfire with at least one video on social media of a man firing a gun into the air. So that was not one of the shootings.
Okay.
Philadelphia is something else. I gotta say this, though. Yo, Eagles fans, you've actually been here before a couple of times now, okay? This is the conference championship. I get it. Go Birds. And I know that half my family's from Philadelphia, but come on. We need to raise our level of what we celebrate.
And how you celebrate.
Definitely how you celebrate. Because,
like, there's no way to level up this.
There's only so much you can do to stop Philadelphians from being Philadelphians. Again, I'm part Philly by blood. I'm part Philly, part Boston. I'm the perfect storm of god-awfulness from the Northeast. And I apologize that I've carpet-bagged my way down here to grace your radio airwaves with my despicable voice.
Yeah, but see, like, Houston fans, like, they don't do this. They don't buy AL West champs, you know, ALDS champs t-shirts. They don't celebrate that stuff.
No.
I'm glad we're finally talking about something like this because it is incredibly soft for Eagles fans to be parading like that.
Who went to the Super Bowl? I think soft? I don't know if it's soft.
It's lame?
No. They're like raging. Know. I think it's Eagles fans because they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, or, you know, 2017.
But they went 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, I think that Eagles fans, like, it goes viral about, like, oh, look at these Eagles fans. There's something special. There's something different. And it ends up, like, they just try to go viral. It's a bunch of people trying to be Eagles fans, like, trying to put on the performance of being an Eagles fan.
Eating dog poop.
Yeah, it just, like, keeps leveling up and leveling up. And so it's, like, a lot of this is just for clout, guys.
I kind of feel the same way about Bills fans.
It's just to be, like, look at us. We're so wild and crazy.
Bills fans don't do it on Philly's level. But, yeah, Philly feels like they have a reputation to uphold. Like, they ate horse poop during that one Super Bowl parade. The entire streets were covered. But the last Super Bowl they won against the Patriots, that was the first Super Bowl that they'd ever won,
yes,
which is important.
That one's okay. That one I'm okay with.
If some happened after the first one, fine. This is almost like, well, we know we're going to lose to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
You're celebrating now.
Let's have our celebration now. Yeah. And then we'll riot after they lose the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know. Eagles fans, it is just like, it's like the social media ness of it is what I don't like. Is that it's like very clearly they're like, we need to show off how crazy we are. Get over yourself.
I'm like, win a Super Bowl. Like, save the craziness for the Super Bowl. It's just, you gotta wait. There's no reason to celebrate now. You're not done yet.
Job's not finished.
Yeah, job's not finished. You got more work to do.
Mm-hmm. You're, again, 2 years ago, you're in this same exact spot.
Yeah, it's like, what do you celebrate?
Patriots fans get it, you know? I forget some of the Super Bowls that I've won.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
And after a certain point, you're like, do I want to go to the parade? Do I want to go to the Super Bowl that's in the town that I live in? You know, maybe we'll go to the next one. You know,
they're going to block off streets. I'm going to have to change how I get to work.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give them props. These people can rage, and I'm sure that they were hungover as hell on Monday. But, yeah.
Tone it down a little bit.
I'm not saying tone it down. I'm just saying reserve the celebrations for appropriate things. You've already tasted a championship. Winning another one. You could do all these things, minus the it really is sad that kid died. It really is sad. The Superdome is where the Super Bowl will be played in about, doing a little math here, 10 days or so. 9, 10, whatever. The Superdome hosting the Super Bowl, the last time it hosted the Super Bowl 12 years ago, the power went out. The NFL says that a blackout is unlikely. Do you believe the NFL when they say the Superdome will be able to stay powered up for the entirety of the biggest event in America?
I mean, it just depends on how the games go in, I think. You know, if the Chiefs need more time at halftime, to, you know, get their game plan together, then I would expect the lights to turn on. You know, kind of, you know, make sure that Andy Reid can regroup in the locker room. Because that's what a lot of people think happened last time, right? Like, Baltimore needed more time. That was the conspiracy theory, that Baltimore needed more time to prep at halftime so they turned the lights off. But they have more LED lights, so it should be fixed.
I do agree that's unlikely that it happened.
Yeah, it seems unlikely.
It was unlikely the first time. That if you would have asked him beforehand, it would have said unlikely.
But yeah, I don't think Beyonce, like, the plan was like, was it Beyonce?
Yeah.
With, like, her concert was going to cause the lights to go off.
This is going to sound like a diss. I love Louisianans. They're the most fun people in the United States. I also think they're some of the least serious people in the United States. I just watched Mickey Loomis's end of season press conference where he was saying things like, yeah, like just because things aren't going well, just because the results are bad doesn't mean our process is bad. And saying, I'm comfortable with being uncomfortable with our salary cap situation. Like, I just don't take the people who run the Superdome or anyone in the great state of Louisiana seriously. So I think there's a pretty good chance of it blacking out. I honestly hope, and it's mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. You can bet on everything for the big game. I really want to bet on another blackout happening.
I hope
I'm kind of rooting for it.
I hope there's odds on that.
Because, yeah, like, I mean, I'm rooting for the Eagles in this game, but, like, begrudgingly I'm doing it. And I kind of want both fan bases to have miserable experiences, except for Taylor Swift fans.
I mean, because even, like, this article from NBC Sports is, like, it says, also the Superdome has installed LED lights, which take less time to turn back on if there was an outage. Which, like, that means, like, that is saying, like, there might be an outage, but lights will come back on quicker.
Yeah, it'd just be less time so, like, to put them off.
It's the outage just might be shorter.
Someone texted in that if the Eagles have a 28-3 lead in the first half, that the power will go out.
Yeah.
That will be where the NFL conspiracy comes in. Because, yes, when that happened, the Ravens were kicking the 49ers' ass. And then the power outage happened, and all of a sudden the 49ers started moving. Did the deer antler spray wear off on Ray Lewis? A good question. I guess we'll never know.
Probably did. Ray Lewis, another Raven.
I've always been told I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes.
What a great opening to Madden 14.
Ray Lewis on Madden was a good one. My favorite was the Troy Polamalu cover, though. Him and Larry Fitzgerald. I liked that one.
Why?
I don't know. I just love Troy Polamalu. He was like one of my favorite players in the NFL.
Polamalu was fun.
He was awesome.
Greg Olsen wants back in as the number one broadcaster on Fox. Did you notice him tweeting commentary of the game, the NFC Championship game?
Do you think he's back in soon? What do you think Brady's going to do? I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I don't know.
Because it kind of feels like at some point he'd want to just go all in with the Raiders and not have to do... But maybe he wants to do both? Like,
he definitely wants to do a little bit of both. He's getting paid a ton of money by Fox.
Yeah.
But also he's a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. I truly have no idea what Brady is going to do next. I think that he should be allowed to do whatever he wants. And if he wants to stay the number one broadcaster on Fox, I think he's proven that he's the greatest color commentator of all time. So, I don't think there's any debate about it. Like, to people who don't think he's good, they just don't understand, like, all the winning he's teaching you about.
Yeah.
I've read the TB12 method.
Yeah, like what an out route is.
Yeah.
Because I learned that this weekend. Mm-hmm. Or what an arm bar is. Yeah. Learned that this weekend.
Yeah.
He does really treat all of us like we're idiots.
Well, yeah, because we all are.
I mean,
we are just witnessing his greatness.
If you really do listen, like, he does explain football like we're all five. So,
well,
I think he's fine. Honestly.
I mean, I'm not five, but you're five when it comes to football. So you need to explain that way. Everyone in Fox, like, there's generally not a lot of Patriots fans watching Fox. There's generally a CBS broadcast. So yeah, like, he's teaching you things that you don't understand.
I do appreciate
it. The basics of football.
Yeah, I do think he's good at his job. I just don't know, like, how long you want to do both for. I do wonder too, like, at some point will, like, Kevin Burkhalter be upset that he's having to carry the workload? Because, like, Tom Brady's not allowed in the team meetings the days before because of his role with the Raiders.
I imagine so eventually. Greg Olsen, I think the thing that works against him here is he said that I'm not necessarily going to be doing this for the rest of my life either. And I think maybe Fox looks at that and they're like, well, that's not going to get us to have you replace Tom Brady. On a serious note, after all the, you know, Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior joking,
all the glazing, yeah.
I think he still needs work. I haven't watched many Tom Brady broadcasts this year because I'm generally occupied with the Texans on Sunday, but yeah, could be better.
Greg Olsen was better. I get why they replaced him with Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady. Like, I do get it, but it's hard when, like, the reviews are coming off the Super Bowl in which Greg Olsen is just getting beloved, and then it's like, see ya, dude.
He just doesn't sound natural when he speaks.
Yeah, that's he just has a weird energy.
Which is funny because I've seen him in interview settings and he's totally normal. But sort of like with Booger McFarland, Booger McFarland talk show host is awesome. Booger McFarland in that analyst role, it felt like he's trying to be something he's not.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunately what these broadcasts kind of make you do. I think Brady would be good on the Manning cast because if you let him be unfiltered.
I think he has some bad coaching because, like, I hear Tony Romo-ish from Brady. And the way it's like he's trying too hard to elevate the moment every time. And it just reminds me of, like, what I hear from Romo, and I don't like Romo. So I feel like someone from Fox was like, why don't you just be like Romo? Like, that's who you want to be. Like, people love Romo.
I don't know, Jim.
He does some of that stuff.
Yeah, he lately, and it does feel like it's a note, that he will just go like a, whoa. Like, he'll just, like, make a noise and, like, as a play's going on and stuff. It's, yeah. He's strange guy, I think. There's just something about, like, his, like, TV persona that's, like, a little, like, he feels like he's trying to put on a performance.
He's not a guy. He's a half man, half alien, half sent down from the heavens. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one will ever know. But it is the 10-minute drill. Galan and George. He's Joe. Sean behind the glass. I'm Paul. 713-780-3776 to call to text. We're 13 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. On the other side, everything that we learned over the weekend at FanFest, including why they've changed the name of the ballpark.
That's kind of funny. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
You fancy and have an HD radio? Well, good for you, number one. Number two, listen to ESPN Houston's HD channel, 97.9 HD2.
So fancy.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
The Astros made a statement and they posted it on their Instagram story to announce the Ryan Pressly trade. I got a kick out of it just from this perspective. The Astros have acquired minor league pitcher Juan Bello in exchange for Ryan Pressly and cash considerations. The way they're framing it, Juan Bello might be awesome someday.
Eh, we'll see.
We will see. I mean, you never know with minor leaguers.
Yeah, he's like 20, I think. He's got some good upside. Like, but it's, I mean, you're about 3 years away from seeing him in the majors probably at the earliest. Maybe if with the Tommy John surgery in there because it feels like that's inevitable for everybody. So that's like maybe in 5 years we'll see this kid like when he's 25. I don't know. But I'm not one of those people that gets excited anymore about pitching prospects just because it just feels like maybe like the Astros fans like beat me down with Forrest Whitley, so I just don't care anymore about pitching prospects.
Oh man, while we're on that, like, I wanted to bring up something I saw the other day, and we were going to maybe do this another one, but since you did bring up Forrest Whitley, there's a new Forrest Whitley. Tyler Ivey is the new Forrest Whitley. There's an article from Chandler Rome from a couple days ago. Tyler Ivey's comeback to continue at Astros minor league spring training. Ivey, 28 years old, will report to West Palm Beach February 10th as part of a minor league mini camp. So how about that? I didn't even know who he was, but he was a third round pick in the 2017 draft. He routinely appeared within lists of Astros top 10 prospects during his playing career.
It reminds me more of like the Singleton story, I think. But yeah, we'll see.
Well, Singleton, I mean, he got a contract. Yeah, the hype was there. It was Singleton. The dude just couldn't stop smoking grass. But yeah, this feels like the new Forrest Whitley.
So, hey, you know what?
Tyler Ivey, baby.
Something to watch in spring training.
But I just thought it was funny the way that they framed that press release. We've acquired Juan Bello. And then, like, Ryan Presley's buried, and the cash considerations, the most important thing, are also buried.
I guess it's because you can't be like, we traded away. Hey, you know America's closer? We traded him away. Like, you have to frame it like, look at who we did get, not who we gave away.
He is America's closer.
He is America's closer, still.
Mm-hmm. America first closer. But now he's in Chirac, so.
Hey, you know what? Hey, he might be America's closer again.
No. No, no one likes the Cubs, Joe.
He could be. No, he'll. He
They're
could
just pitch, trying to break even.
He could. Yeah, they are. He could pitch for Team USA again at Minute Maid Park in like a year.
Oh, yeah. Is that sure. World Baseball Classic? Where it's about that time again?
Is that next year? 2026? I think it is. World Baseball Classic here in Houston.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah, he's not going to be pitching.
Can we get free tickets?
Probably not. Also, well, you're right. Not be pitching for Team USA.
Yeah, what if he finds out he's got some sort of other ancestry and he ends up pitching for another country so that he can get into the World Baseball Classic? Because there's always a bunch of, like, Italy baseball players. Like, yeah, you're Italian, huh?
No, they just want to play.
You're about as Italian as Paulie Walnuts, who goes to Italy and famously found himself out of place in The Sopranos. So, the Astros, their field, it's changed. Dykin Field got rid of the outfield train. Bobby Dynamite, RIP.
Okay.
Also, Dykin Field has a mascot called Pichonkun. He's a water droplet. Pinchun is the sound a water droplet makes.
Huh?
Kun is a diminutive, and it means, so it means little droplet, basically. Also, a lot of people thought that this mascot was going to replace Orbit.
I mean, look, Orbit, watch out. Like, I would just say watch your back.
Yeah, Bobby Dynamite's gone.
Is that for sure? Or was the train, no just train not there that day?
Well, what's Bobby Dynamite going to do?
Well, they got to replace. Maybe they're going to make
no train
look
with oranges.
Yeah, well, it's in the shop.
I mean, the train's not about the oranges.
They're going to put the water droplets in the back of the train.
I like the idea of just a pile of window units and different AC equipment and stuff just strewn about the back of the train.
Yeah, like, I don't know what else they're going to be driving around. Ice cubes. They're probably go all in with the icebox thing.
So is Dykin's not an American company. I think I was out the day that this was all announced, and so I know nothing
company.
About Dykin.
I think it's a Japanese company.
Yes, Japanese air conditioning company.
We couldn't get Roki Sasaki?
Or Yusei Kikuchi?
Or Yusei Kikuchi? What the hell?
Hey.
Or Haesung Kim? I think
Japan's a big country.
Also, that guy's South Korean.
That's South Korean, yes. God,
Hey, Paul.
We didn't even say it.
Hey, Paul, this is where you can call me.
Yeah, I don't have to say anything.
Just
time.
The layup. Layup of all layups.
I'm not even going to say anything, man.
Why? Also, I think it's strange they haven't, you know, like, replaced any of the signs. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like, it still says Minute Maid Park
everywhere. I do like seeing that, I don't know, probably once a week, I open up Twitter and just see a random person who was walking by the stadium and takes a picture of it and says, it still says Minute Maid Park on the stadium.
They'll get there, maybe by opening day.
Feels like you should get on that.
Can we
know.
Keep it?
Oh.
Can we keep the sign? Just don't tell them. I'm sure Dykin is in another country. It's a long flight, I'd imagine, from Tokyo to Houston. Just don't tell them.
Yeah.
Just put, and whenever they come, just make sure that you, like, put cardboard over
like
it.
A tarp
just
over like it. A banner over it.
Yeah. I like that.
I want to keep it Minute Maid Park.
I mean, most of the money is just for people. I imagine what you're paying for with naming rights is just that, like, it shows up on Google as that. And, you know, Joe Buck, or not Joe Buck anymore, but Joe Davis introduces it as Dykin Park when they come into the broadcast. Like, the actual sign doesn't move any air conditioning units.
Dodger Joe Davis would call it Enron Field because he's the Dodger guy.
And like, does it move anything anywhere? Like, if you go to New Orleans, like, do you leave the Smoothie King Center and, like, gotta get Smoothie King now?
Yeah.
I will say, actually, every time I do hear it, I'm like, Smoothie would be nice.
The only one I think that would, like, really work for me is Corpus Christi Whataburger Field. I feel like I would want Whataburger every time I left.
I feel like if they went lower, like, just like M&M Stadium, and so next time I'm in the checkout line, I'm like, you know what? I kind of want M&M's.
Yeah.
I want you know what I want. I want El Tiempo Park.
El Tiempo Park. That would be good.
Just El Tiempo's everywhere.
Yeah, the more El Tiempo's, the cheaper the margaritas. The supply.
How many games are you going to this year? Are you protesting as a fan and media or just media?
I have no comment on the matter.
Okay.
But that parking lot attendant guy, F you, dude. F you.
You never know if he got fired.
I don't want to make it all about me. Okay? I don't want to make it
it's
all about me.
It's not just about you.
All I'm saying is I asked where to park, and then I brought up, hey, my car got hit and run last time under your watch, so why didn't you keep me from going into the parking lot that time? And then he called me a poop head. More colorful language. Some people probably like that, but my car has not experienced fun times at Minute Maid Park, and yeah, I don't really want to go back. Don't really want to go back. So we'll see.
Well, you're not going to go back to Minute Maid Park. You're going to Daikin Park.
That's true.
Oh, what
maybe
if that,
I'll be allowed
what
in.
If that guy was a Minute Maid player.
Yeah, he said I'll never be allowed to park in his parking lot again. So again, yeah. We will see. I don't know if I believe that, but it would suck to try
doesn't
and
seem
find
enforceable.
Out. I kind of don't want to. I actually don't want to F around and find out. I don't want to drive all the way down there and then not get let in. Absolutely not. Anyway, Galan and George, that is our Astros countdown. We are 13 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. Up next, how far can this Rockets team go this year? And were there maybe other reasons for Ryan Presley waving his no-trade clause to join the Cubs? Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.